Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. I'm always amazed at how God works the timing of messages out. You know, you pray about things, you plan things out, kind of outline where you're headed, and it seems like God just always gives us the right message at the right time. I want to invite you to Romans chapter 8, find verse 18, and if you're able, let's stand together. Romans 8:18 is going to be our text tonight. We're learning about living alive, and living alive in Jesus Christ doesn't mean that life is always going to be good. You know, Brother Carl just said something to that effect, like we're all going to go through things in this life. There's going to be times, and a good Bible word for that is suffering. Amen. We're all going to go through times of suffering, and that suffering can be spiritual, it can be mental and emotional, it can be physical. We can go through suffering in our health. We can go through suffering in our hearts and minds. Amen. We can go through suffering in the loss of a loved one. But in it all, it's nothing to be compared for what God has in store for us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll read this verse together. Brother Nelson, will you please lead us in prayer? Amen. While you're still standing, would you read this out loud with me tonight? Here we go. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. God loves us. And a lot of people have a hard time reconciling suffering against a good and loving God. How, if God is so good and loving, why is there suffering in the world? And I think most of you in the room tonight understand the answer to that. God created a world without sin, without sorrow, without death. But he gave mankind one rule. Don't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam did exactly what God said not to do. God warned him that if he did that, he would surely die. And we know that sin and death came into the world because of Adam's disobedience. We also know that whereas by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that we have all sinned. We've all sinned against God. We're born with a sin nature and we all sin willfully. And listen, if you say tonight that you don't have any sin, you're deceiving yourself. If you say that you've never sinned, you're a liar and you're calling God a liar. And so we understand tonight that sin is the root cause of all the suffering that's in the world. I'm also perplexed by those who seem to have a hard time with this. Why you can't understand, why you can't reconcile suffering in your own life when you know that Christ suffered for you. Amen. The just for the unjust. The sinless for the sinner. The perfect for the very imperfect. Amen. And so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about this, because part of living a life, you know, we've talked so much about having our mind right and trading in anxiety for prayers and so many things about living right in our minds, living right in reality, like put off the old man, leave sin behind. It doesn't have rule over you anymore. But you also are going to have to, you're going to have to get this settled in your hearts and minds that suffering is going to be a reality in this world. It just is. There's going to be really hard things that happen in your life. Heartache, like following Jesus doesn't mean that you get to live without heartache. Amen. Just doesn't. And his heart was broken. Amen. His heart was broken for you. And you should understand that heartache is going to come in this life. Living alive and suffering means that we have to interpret the pain that we're going through now through future glory, with the lens looking through future glory. We got to depend on God's help. We got to rest in his love, and we can suffer together. I'm so thankful that God doesn't leave us alone. Like the suffering you go through, you don't have to do it on your own. Supremely, he is with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you, but he's so much better than that. He does so much more than that. It's so much greater than that. Because we are physical beings in a physical world, he gives us physical help through one another. Like we love one another. We're there for one another. We support one another. We bear one another's burdens. So let's walk through some of these things tonight. Suffering doesn't contradict sonship. Verse 16, Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And I want you to get this. Suffer with him. Amen. With who? Jesus. With Jesus. Right. Did Jesus suffer? Amen. Ultimate suffering. Right. Like he experienced suffering in a way that like his suffering was so much worse than we'll ever experience. Amen. Was it not? Amen. What he endured on the cross, and you say, well, people have gone through physical pain too, but I'm talking about the spiritual degree of separation that he endured, becoming sin for us, taking on the sin of the whole world, and being perfect as God himself. He experienced that in a perfect way. Amen. It's hard for me to comprehend how he suffered. And he says, if you're a child of God, then the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit so that you know that you're a child of God. Amen. And I just got to ask you tonight, do you know? Amen. Like, is his spirit in you? Have you been born again? Do you know that you have eternal life? And if you do, that his spirit is there and you know that you're his, you're born again, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, all of the glory of heaven that belongs to Jesus, he shares with you. Amen. When he deserves it all and we deserve none of it, he shares it with us as joint heirs, and then he says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. And please don't twist this scripture to say that you earn glory by suffering. That's not what it means at all. It means that if you're his, you're going to suffer with him. Amen. If you were of the world would love his own. Amen. But you're not of this world. Right? Right? If you're not of this world, then the world's going to hate you because you're not of this world. There's going to be suffering that happens in this life because you're Christ. Amen. Not in spite of the fact that you're his, but because you're his. Amen. Suffering's going to come. And do I know exactly how that's? I have no idea. Like, I know experience. I know Satan hates God's people. I know he's after you. I know he wants to destroy you and your family and this church and everything that you hold dear. He hates everything that's good. So I know you have an enemy who's after you. So suffering can come at the hands of the accuser of the brethren. I know that suffering can come through sickness. I know that there are people out there that are probably teaching tonight that if you just had enough faith, you would never get sick. It's hard for me not to, I'm just to be honest, it's hard for me to have a right heart towards those people. Amen. False teachers who give people false hope and tell people that if you just believed, listen, you got cancer because you didn't have enough faith. That's sick. Amen. They're the ones that are sick. I got news for you. People who love Jesus get sick. Amen. People who love Jesus get cancer. Right. And people who love Jesus die. Amen. But I got news for you too. Death isn't such a bad thing for the believer. Amen. To die is what? Gain. Amen. That sounds backwards. But to die is gain for us. If you're his, you're going to suffer. And if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. We suffer because we are his. And some people just cannot get this. They've heard false teaching so long that they think if something bad happens to them, it's because God doesn't love them. And I'm just, guys, listen, if you're his, you're going to suffer. And to those who are confused by that, all I can say is please just read your script, read the Bible on your own. Amen. Read the scriptures for yourself and you're going to see it. It's all through the Bible. Present suffering has to be compared with future glory. Verse 18 again, for I reckon That's a good southern word, isn't it? I reckon. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, I don't want to try to downplay any suffering. Like, Paul's not, like, trying to pretend like suffering isn't real. He's not trying to deny it. But he's just giving us a real comparison that he said is beyond compare. Now, can people suffer really bad in this world? I mean, we have little understanding of what real suffering is. Don't get me wrong. Like, we've all experienced heartache, sickness, and pain, and death. I get that. But you know there are people in other parts of the world who suffer. Amen. Like, you may walk into your kitchen every night and say, I'm starving. Quit cutting eyes at each other. That's not nice. But most of the people in this room don't actually know what it's like to be starving. Some of you do. Some of you have been there. But most of us have no idea. I'm just saying that there are people who are suffering. They are literally starving. There are people who are in prison being beaten tonight because of their faith in Jesus. They are suffering. There are people who have experienced unimaginable loss. And I'm just saying, no matter, this is, get this, no matter how much a human being can suffer on this planet, it's nothing to be compared with the glory that's on the other side. And that ought to be encouraging. What's on the other side is always encouraging. You know that Jesus went to the cross and he looked at the joy that was set before him? We just studied it last week. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Was the cross excruciating? Yeah, it's where we get the word excruciating from, the crucifixion. And again, not just the physical, but the spiritual turmoil and all that he endured for us, he looked at the other side and he rejoiced. Amen. The Bible gives us that example. We talk about it often because the Bible uses it often, that women go through labor pains and it's excruciating pain. But when the baby is born and mama holds baby for the first time, she forgets about the trouble. She forgets about the sorrow. Now, I've not been on the other side of that, so I don't know. And I'm not dumb enough to be the man who was, you know, crying because his wife was crushing his hand, squeezing it. Like, listen, you just shut up. Take it. Amen. Right? The man's over there, she's squeezing his hand, and he's like, his knees are buckling. He's like, this hurts so bad. Okay. Yeah. But I've heard this testimony from Scripture, so I know it's true. I've heard it from other women. And when the baby comes, all of that pain is forgotten. There's joy on the other side. And most anything that you go through is like that, isn't it? Amen. Has anybody in here ever done anything hard? Amen. Some of the kids are like, I had to clean my room the other day. And it was so hard. It was such a mess. And mom made me pick up everything, right? So hard. But there's joy on the other side, right? Amen. A hard day's work. Some of you guys out there killing yourselves. Like, it's 100 degrees. You're dehydrated. Your kidneys are shutting down. But you got to get that yard mowed, right? Like, it has to be done. But, you know, there's joy on the other side of that. Amen. We could go through hard things in the minutia of life because we know that there's an end to it. Amen. And there's something to that here. He says, I have accounted. This isn't just a flippant reckoning. Well, I reckon. No, this is, he has done an accounting. And he knows that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to happen on the other side, that's going to be revealed. And that's really encouraging coming from a guy like Paul who knew something about suffering. He knew something about suffering. We've got to look beyond what's happening right now, and we've got to fix our eyes on the future. Verse 19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Isn't it good to know? Isn't it good to know that all creation is groaning for redemption and that every creation is going to be changed? If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. And this creature, this body is going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption, of death, into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Praise God. This world isn't what God created it to be. Amen. But it will be. Amen. But it will be. It will be. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit or to know the redemption of our body. All creation is groaning to be restored and renewed. Everything that God made wants to go back to its glory. It wants to get to what God has in store for it. Creation itself wants to be made new. Not only creation itself, but all of us who have the Spirit of God. We groan within ourselves. We are waiting for that adoption, the redemption of our body. And if you're saved, you are redeemed. Is that right? Yes. Amen. You are redeemed. You are being redeemed, and you will be redeemed. Amen. And we're waiting for that. We're waiting for the redemption of our body. And he's given us the first fruits of the Spirit. He's put a spirit in us so that we know that we're his. And so we know we're ready. We're already saved, but we're not fully glorified. And hope waits patiently for what is not yet seen. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What does that mean? If you have hope for something, it's something that you don't have yet, right? Like if you already got it, why are you hoping for it? Have you ever hoped for something? When you were a kid, you hoped for a new bike. Or that new video game console. When you got a little older, you hoped for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And if you were a guy, you hoped that one day when you popped the questions, she would say yes. And all of those things, if you get what you hope for, you're not still hoping for it. Like you've realized it. But we're still hoping for what's coming. Amen. Because we haven't seen it yet. We haven't realized it yet. So we're still hoping. We're still waiting. Amen. I love biblical hope. Amen. It's an earnest expectation. It's not a man, maybe we'll wait and see. We were talking in Sunday school class. Brother Ryan Goodwin, most of you guys know he was raised up Catholic, and he said, you know, growing up, most people that I know in Catholicism, they're always like, we don't know. Like, maybe you'll get into heaven and maybe you won't. Like, you can't know in this life. You got to wait and see. Like, you get to the judgment and God will make his final decision whether you get in or whether you get out. And then he got in his Bible and he figured out the truth that you can know now. I have to wait. I'd have to wait and find out because the verdict's already been passed. Jesus Christ died for my sins and I put my faith in him. And the verdict is not guilty. Amen. The verdict is forgiven. The verdict is redeemed. The verdict is set free. Amen. And so now I have hope. I have an anticipation of what God has in store. Amen. So we wait. We wait. And God helps us. And this is good. Pay attention to verse 26. You ready? Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. God's given us his Holy Spirit. He's the Comforter. He guides us into all truth. He teaches us. He convicts us. And he does so many things, right? He seals us. He bears witness with our spirit. But one of the great things that he does is he makes intercession for us. Aren't you thankful for that? Let me just ask you this. Have you ever been in a position in your life where you want to pray, but you don't even have words? Have you ever been so broken, maybe over your own sin, or just so devastated by a situation that you're trying to pray, but you can't even think the right words? But God sees and God knows, and the Spirit makes intercession for us. Some of you haven't been in a place like that in so long you can barely remember, where you've been completely broken. But you do well to remember that the Lord was there with you in that time. And He's with you still. Even when we can't even find the right words, He helps us. And even when we are praying words, He still helps us. Like, it's not just when you don't know what to say. But in those moments, when we don't even know what we should pray for like we should, the Spirit is there for us. Verse 28. I think a couple of you know this verse. It's got to be one of the most comforting verses in the Scriptures. And we what? What's it say? Think? Could possibly, maybe, guess? We guess? We know. Amen. That all things, which things? Work together for good. It doesn't see everything as good. As a matter of fact, I suppose this verse would be pointless if everything in your life was good. You wouldn't have to wonder, why is all this bad stuff happening? How am I supposed to handle this bad situation? How am I going to get through this suffering? If that wasn't a reality, we wouldn't need this promise. Amen. But that is a reality, so we need the promise. You can know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now let me ask you this, who loves God? We love Him. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you this, I don't believe anybody who has not experienced the love of Christ can love God. Amen. What does that mean? I'm just saying, if you've never been born again by faith in Jesus, you don't know His love. You haven't experienced His love, so you can't love Him the way that He should be loved. We love Him because we've trusted in Him, because we know Him, because He saved us. And if you are saved, you ought to love Him, and you have been called according to His purpose. Amen. And He's going to work everything out according to your good. What a Savior. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, to them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. And I love the tense of all this. It's all done. It's all past tense, as though it's already. Are you glorified tonight? I mean, I don't want to offend anybody, but you don't look glorified. I'm going to be honest, I don't really feel glorified. Right? But there is coming a day. Amen. Right. And He talks about it like it's already done. Amen. Because it is as good as done. Right. Amen. Glorified. By faith in Christ, glorified. Amen. By His amazing love, glorified. Because we've been justified, because His blood has taken away our sin, because He called us. He called us by His gospel, and He has predestinated those who are in Christ to be conformed to the image of His Son. You will be like Jesus. Isn't that good news? I want to be like Jesus. I long to be like Jesus. I fall short of being like Jesus every day. I fall flat on my face. I never measure up, but one day I will be conformed to His image. It's going to happen. He's working it out. So, what should we say then to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Boy, guys, you got the Holy Spirit on your side and God's only Son on your side. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Listen, no matter what happens, no matter what the devil throws at you, no matter how you mess up, no matter what the world says or does, you have victory in Jesus. Amen. Because he loves you. Because he is love. Nothing. Nothing can overcome you, no matter what suffering you endure. We are killed all the day for, he says, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I saw some more cases in the world today where Christians are being beheaded by Muslims. And it's a horrific reality. And they stand in triumph with their bloody swords. But those Christians who have died for their faith in Jesus are more than conquerors. Amen. Amen. And they will rule and reign with Christ when he comes. No matter how much the world hates us, no matter how much Satan tries, he is already defeated. Because nothing can separate us from his love. I want to tell you tonight, we don't suffer alone. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. We just read this the other day. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the member should have the same care one for another. Amen. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Amen. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen. And when brothers and sisters are hurting, we hurt with them. And I just want you to get this. All the members suffer. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. And can I just encourage you that you ought to let people know? When you see your brother or sister in the church that's suffering, you ought to let them know that you love them and that your heart hurts for them. And that you're with them. Amen. It's the other way too. If one honored, then we all rejoice. I guess I'm just trying to say we're in this together. So we ought to act like we're in this together. Amen. Remember who you are. We are the children of God. When you're suffering, sometimes you don't feel like you're a child of God. When suffering's really hard, you often feel very alone. So remember that you belong to Jesus. Compare your suffering with glory. Don't compare your suffering with other people's suffering. Comparison is the thief of joy. Amen. Don't compare your suffering with other people. If you got to compare it, remember it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed. Amen. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Maybe your suffering is physical. Maybe it's physical pain or sickness or mental health struggles, whatever it is. Don't lose hope because there is hope. We groan for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We groan for that adoption. We groan for our redemption, and that day's coming, so don't lose hope. Depend on the Spirit's help. Remember, the Spirit helps our infirmities. So depend on Him. Ask for Him. Ask for the Spirit. Jesus taught that God would give the Spirit to those who ask. So ask. And trust in God's purpose. He's going to work all things together for good if you love Him and you're called according to His purpose. I don't know what kind of suffering you might be facing today, you might be going through right now, but I know God's with you in it, and He has a purpose for it. And you might be like, listen, Brother Isaac, things are pretty good right now. Like, not suffering. Like, I'm really blessed. I've got good health. My family's healthy. Like, things are good. And you ought to rejoice in that, by the way. Amen. And I don't want to discourage you, but I promise you suffering's going to come. It's going to happen. So remember the things that God gives us in His Word so you're ready for that time and you can stay faithful and live the life He's given you even when suffering comes. Let's pray. Father, please bless Your Word in spite of me. I pray Your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, teach us the truth that we need, and help us to live it out by Your grace and by the power of Your Spirit. Those that are suffering in the church tonight, I pray that You'll give them comfort and peace that only You can give. And I pray that when suffering comes, we'll remember our Savior who suffered supremely for us, and that we will endure whatever suffering You allow to come into our lives with patience, with cheerful endurance, keeping our eyes on Jesus and looking to the day of our redemption. I pray if anybody in this room is not ready for that day, they've never repented of their sin and put their faith in Christ alone, I pray even now Your Holy Spirit would draw them, that they would turn away from their sin and unbelief, and they would trust in Jesus with all their heart. Call on Your name and be saved. I pray that for those in this room, anybody watching online, anyone anywhere, who is not born again, we pray for them to come to saving faith in Jesus. And Lord, help us all to live out the life that You've given us in Christ. For Your glory, we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.